This is Brother Anthony Flunder with the Church of Christ at Manhattan Heights in Lubbock, Texas, co-host of this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. We have a repeat defender on our program tonight in the person of Brother James Dale. He will be speaking on the subject, It's a Guardrail. His text to follow along with is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, and verse number 23. So at this time, the next voice you will hear will be Brother James Dale.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is a pleasure to be able to come once again and share with you the Word of God. It is such a blessing that we actually have God's Word in our life, an opportunity to know what our Creator desires of us as His creation. Tonight, the title of my lesson is going to be, It's a Guardrail. Actually, there's an extended title. It's not a fence, it's a guardrail, but I just prefer saying it's a guardrail. The premise of this lesson is for us to consider how we view the Word of God. I'm sure that each one of us knows somebody in our life, family, friend, that has yet to obey the gospel, has yet to commit their life to Christ. And the question might be, why is that so? Well, there are some people who refuse to obey because they just don't believe. They don't believe there's a God. They've bought into this whole idea that evolution is what it's all about, and we just happen by chance, and so there is no God. But there are also other people who don't want to believe in God and thus obey God, commit their life to Him, because they see Him as an obstacle to the life that they want to live. You see, when they look at God and His Word and they see people they've known who've come to Christ, they understand that those who choose to follow Christ will change their lives. They will become the righteousness of God. And because of that, they see that and they say, you know, I kind of like the way I live. I like doing the things that I'm doing. And so I don't know why it is that I would want to follow God when He's going to tell me that there's some things that I need to change, and I really don't want to change those things in my life. They see God's Word as being restrictive and confining, as if God has put a fence up around them so as to prevent them from enjoying what's on the other side of that fence. But what we should come to understand, and I pray that each one of us will understand this, because it's your perspective on the Word of God that will determine whether or not you will obey God's command. What if instead of viewing the Word of God as a fence, we actually saw it as a guardrail? What if we saw God's Word as a guardrail protecting us rather than a fence restricting us? You see, when we look into the Word of God, that's in fact what we come to realize, that God's will is a guardrail protecting us from the sin which so easily destroys us. I got this lesson from a cartoon I saw a while back where there was a man standing by this what looked like to be a fence, and on the fence it said God's commands. And he was screaming about how he was tired of being fenced in and he just wanted to do what he wanted to do. He said, I'm tired of this, and he jumped over the fence. Well, unbeknownst to him, on the other side, there was just a sheer cliff that just fell off into an abyss. His friend was standing there, and his friend hollers at him, no, it's not a fence, it's a guardrail. You see, God's Word was protecting this individual from what was on the other side, and what was on the other side was just an abyss of sin. It was an abyss of sin. It wasn't something that you would actually desire to go into. So what I want to do with tonight is just take some time to explain how we should use the Word of God. God said in verse 16, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. You see, after Adam and Eve had sinned, the world became evil continually, as we read in Genesis 6:5. Man left to his own vices would go down a path of sin, seeking to pursue those things which would just eventually destroy him. In fact, when we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, man left to his own vices, he will choose to go the wrong way. He will choose an unrighteous path. He won't choose to follow God. And that takes us to the text that was brought up as a theme of the lesson, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. You see, left to ourselves, what we're going to do is we're going to go down a path of sin. We don't know what the righteousness of God is. And so we need something to guard us, something to protect us, because if we don't, we're just going to venture off into the sin of the world. In fact, I think one of the greatest examples of that is found in Romans chapter 1 and 21 through 32. Now, I'm not going to read the entire section here, but let me just hit some highlights here. In verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged a natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So I did read the entire passage, but I think you get the point. You see, these people, they even knew who God was, and they chose to go down a path of sin. Imagine what it's like for people who just don't want to know God. They don't want to know his word. We'll be the individual who thinks in his own mind that he knows the right way to go, but the end is death, right? It's not in man who walks to direct his steps. Again, Jeremiah 10:23. We will choose a path of sin that will lead to our destruction. And all you have to do is look out in the world today to see that, right? But if I look out in the world today, I can see all sorts of sinful activity around me on a daily basis, minute by minute, hour by hour, right? That we have murder, we have anger, we have malice towards one another. We have hatred towards one another. There are so many, so much sexual depravity out there anymore. It inundates our society. You see, that's the path man chooses when he no longer allows the word of God to be his guardrail. He sees it as a fence, and so he jumps over because he wants to know what's on the other side. But I'm telling you, what's on the other side is death. What's on the other side is separation from God. So man needs to rethink how he views the word of God if he sees it as a fence. What we need to do is understand that the word of God is actually a guardrail. You see, God provides for us the means to his righteousness. He provides the means for us to come and know what his righteousness is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, Paul writes, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. He says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. So, these people had once chosen a path of living in sin. But God revealed his righteousness to them. And when they understood what that righteousness was, they left behind that sin. He says they were washed, they were baptized. And because they were baptized, they were sanctified, they were set apart for the work of God. They were justified. It's as if the sin that they had committed no longer was counted against them because of the blood of Christ. They didn't see God's word as a fence. They saw it as a guardrail to protect them from the life that they had been living in. You know, if you go back to Genesis again, we know that from the beginning, God had always provided for his creation a guardrail through his word. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. The Lord commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die. You see, that's a guardrail, friends. That's a guardrail. That is not God restricting them from having a good time on the other side of that. He's protecting them from the dangers of disobedience to his will and giving in to sin. We know what happens to both Adam and Eve. Eve takes from that tree, she eats, she gives to her husband with her, and they fall. They're separated from God. So rather than seeing God as providing a guardrail, the serpent was able to convince Eve that it was a fence. He's trying to keep you from being like God, to know these things. He's trying to keep you from these things. What God was doing was putting up a hedge of protection, as it were, the idea of a guardrail through his word to protect these people, Adam and Eve, from sin. You go back and look at the law of Moses. What was the purpose for the law of Moses? Was God just sitting up there saying, you know, I just think I'm going to come up with a whole bunch of just things for these people to do. I'm going to give them all kinds of laws to obey because I'm bored. Is that what God was doing? No. Now, you see, in Romans chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20, Paul explains. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. And this is speaking of the law of Moses. That every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God.
Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You see, that's a guardrail, friends.
Through the law, through God's word, came the knowledge of sin. That means that they came to understand what was sinful in the sight of God. And he gave them the law to protect them from the sin that would destroy them. They came to have the knowledge of sin. In God's word, we have a guardrail to protect us from our own destruction. In Psalm 19, 7 through 14, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul, guardrail. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, guardrail. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, guardrail. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, guardrail. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. Guardrail. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also, keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You see, the psalmist understood that God's word wasn't there to control his life and keep him from enjoying this world and all the pleasures of the world. The word of God was there to protect him from the sin of this world and the desires, those sinful desires of his flesh. We can look in Psalm 119 and verses 1 through 8. How blessed are those whose ways is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my way may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you in uprightness of heart, with uprightness of heart, when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. You see, again, the psalmist spoke of the preciousness of the testimonies of God, that these precepts were for him to stay established in God. He saw them as a protection from the sins of the world. In that same Psalm 119, if you go down to verse 105 and 106, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. You know, friends, if we would just look at the word of God as a guardrail and not a fence, I think more people would be willing to follow it. If they could see how easily sin destroys them, if they can look at the lives around them that have been destroyed by drugs and alcohol, by sexual promiscuity, the number of unborn children that have been murdered because someone decided to pursue after an ungodly sexual relationship, the number of lives that have been destroyed because alcohol became a part of someone's everyday life and children were abused because of it. Over and over and over again, we can recite all these different sins that are in the world because someone didn't see the word of God as a guardrail. They saw it as a fence keeping them from enjoying what they saw as the enjoyable things in this world. And in fact, all they were was the sinful things that were seeking to destroy you. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, Paul says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, it is the word of God that does that. It's the word of God that trains us in righteousness. It's the word of God that is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, so that we can be adequate for every good work. Look, I want to be adequate for every good work. I want to be what God wants me to be in his righteousness. I want to live out his righteousness in my life. And I can do that. I can do that through seeing his word as not a fence that's trying to keep me separated from him, but or from the things of this world, but to see it as a guardrail protecting me from the abyss of sin that's on the other side. I pray we can help our friends and our family to see it that way, to help them recognize that what is out there in the world is just that which is going to destroy you, and that we should be prepared to stand against those simple things of the world. And we can do that through the word of God. What a blessing to have his word. What a blessing to know that God wants us to share in his righteousness, that he wants us to be holy as he is holy, 1 Peter chapter 1. In order for us to do that, we need to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul says that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God, word of Christ. It's important for us to have God's word. And it's important that when we go to God's word, we go to it with this mindset that in here, we are going to find the things that will protect us from the sin of this world that will destroy us. Tonight, the Lord's invitation is extended to you. God desires for all to come to repentance and for none to perish. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He preserved his word so that we would know who he is. We would know of his glory. We would know of his kindness, of his mercy, of his grace. We would know of the sacrifice of his son, what he did to save us. He wants us to know that. And so he gave us his word, and he preserved that word. And we have that word that we can pick up, and we can read, and we can come to a place of faith in God so as to commit our life to him, to come to believe in Jesus. John chapter 8 in verse 24, that we have to believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, but we'll be lost in our sins. And then God calls us to turn away from our sin, that there is a need for us to repent. That is literally a change of mind, a change of direction. No longer do we see what's on the other side of that guardrail as a place that we want to live. We see what's on the other side of that guardrail as sin that seeks to destroy us. And so we turn away from that sin. And then we make that good confession that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. If we confess him before man, he will confess us before his Father who is in heaven. We need to make that confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, God in the flesh. And then, friends, we need to be buried with Jesus in baptism. There are so many people out there that teach against the need to be baptized. And I'll tell you this, I believe that the teachings on baptism are as simple and clear as the teachings on faith. That the scriptures are clear that if we are going to be born again, that we have to be born of the water and the Spirit. That if we're going to walk in newness of life, that we're going to have to be buried with Christ, as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, united with him in baptism so that we can crucify that old self. So that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, Paul says in Romans 6, verse 4, that we too will be raised. To walk, he says there, in newness of life. Newness of life in Christ does not begin until we come out of that watery grave. That too, where we crucify ourselves, where we are, as he says in verse 7 of Romans 6, freed from our sin. And so we are buried with Jesus in baptism. In fact, that was the command that Paul obeyed, Acts 22:16. Ananias says, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized, because your sins are already forgiven. No, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, in baptism, we call on the name of the Lord. And then we live faithful to God. We live by that word, that guardrail that protects us from the sin of the world. We walk in the light as he is in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so we live faithful unto death. And there's a crown that is laid up for us. Brethren, friends, those that are listening tonight, if you are not a child of God, take this opportunity. See the word of God as a guardrail to protect you, not a fence that's trying to keep you from things that you should be doing, but protecting you from things that you ought not to be doing. And if you are a child of God, let us know. Let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Understand what the word of God is, and let's live by it. I appreciate you tuning in this night. I pray that my message has helped you in some way. Pray that God would bless you in your study.